Okay, let's move on to our next item, which is 1384.
Accept the 2016 Annual Fire Prevention Report.
Commissioner Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. Today we will be receiving a fire prevention annual report from Portland Fire and Rescue, and we'll be recognizing the amazing fire prevention artwork from local students. And we will also highlight two new policy changes that we are announcing today and several other prevention-related projects. Last week, our country witnessed a terrible tragedy in Oakland, California, when an old warehouse caught fire, resulting in the death of 36 people. The ghost ship, as the warehouse was known in the community, was a popular place for the arts community. And I was especially saddened to hear that so many of the 36 were young artists. So it's very sad. We regret the loss. And the image that was later revealed at the scene of the ghost ship warehouse was chilling. Fire hazards, circuitous exiting, makeshift wood structures, unpermitted electrical work, and no working sprinkler systems. And unfortunately, when people have to search for housing solutions outside of typical multifamily buildings, they may be out of the purview of city officials tasked with ensuring the building's habitability and their safety becomes at risk. As a city, this is why we prioritize fire prevention. It's a critical component to our city's public safety agenda. And while I am very confident that our fire and building code officials are doing the most to prevent these tragedies from occurring, we remain committed to reviewing our current practices to close any potential loopholes, work with vulnerable communities to understand the challenges they face, and to ensure that our policies are doing the most to protect life and property in our city. In 2014, shortly after I became the fire commissioner, one of my first actions was to bring an ordinance to council, which we passed, that required sprinklers in all nightclubs. It's an issue I remain deeply passionate about. Today, we are announcing a new policy change that will fix what we believe is a loophole in the original ordinance. And we will begin requiring that special event permits in large occupancy venues, such as warehouses, must have working sprinkler systems. This is an effort to reduce larger events in old warehouse-type buildings that are potential fire hazards. And the second policy change will create more consistency in who is responsible for maintaining smoke alarms or fire alarms and testing, and specifically ensuring that landlords are doing their due diligence in testing and maintaining these alarms. In the city last year, two of the three fire deaths that you'll hear more about were a result of malfunctioning smoke alarms. So beginning in January, Portland Fire and Rescue will set the precedent with landlords in our city that they are responsible for keeping and maintaining records indicating when smoke alarms are tested, and it really is the landlord's responsibility to make sure that those smoke alarms and fire alarms are in good working order, not the tenant's responsibility. I believe this is an important and much-needed change to the way we conduct inspections and is a responsibility we should expect from property owners in our city. So, as I said, we'll be recognizing some artwork, but I want, before we do that, turn it over to Chief Myers, Fire Marshal Nate DeCara, and Senior Fire Prevention Specialist Kim Cosmas for more information.
Good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, Mayor. Commissioner, thank you for the excellent introduction. And Commissioners, Mayor, for the record, Mike Myers, Fire Chief of the City of Portland. Just want to take a couple of moments, set the tone for some of the discussions today for the prevention report. I've been the fire chief now since, July 1st of this year, so almost 6 months' time. And during that 6 months' time, there's been a couple of things that have come to my attention as I've just reviewed the department structure, some of the strategic planning objectives that we have as a department. During that time in that review, I found a couple of areas where I think we have opportunities for improvement. And over the last 60 days or so, we've done 90 station visits, over 100 independent site visits, gathered over 400 items of information, dozens of performance metrics and performance measures. As we've discussed, opportunities to increase the potential of this organization and really drive home a new, more aggressive strategic plan. So we were taking the current strategic plan that was adopted just a few months before my arrival. We're going to keep all of that information that we've gleaned off of that. It's good stuff. It's about a 30,000-foot view of an organization. It gives us a good North Star look at where we need to go. But in my estimation, we can be stronger. We have more potential to give. There's more opportunity for achievement within this organization, and we need to push harder and farther than what we have before. So many of those efforts are aligned all over the organization, but many of them reside right in the prevention line of business. And I'll give an opportunity for Chief Dekar to talk in just a minute about that report and some of the things that they're going to be doing. But I want to set the tone for a couple of world-class goals that we have going forward. The goal of the new strategic plan that we're developing today, that I hope to present to you in the next couple of months, is going to take us from January of 2017 to January of 2020, a 3-year strategic plan that'll put us from where we're at today, a snapshot in time, to world-class. Our goal is to be world-class. Portland Fire Rescue to be a world-class fire department by January 2020. It's aggressive, it's bold, but I believe it can be done. Prevention is broad. It has a lot of prevention effort detailed right to the public health threat and the social health determinants that affect our communities every day. We can't forget, however, there's always a consistent fire danger. And regarding fire prevention and the goals for fire-related deaths, we're going to make a very bold statement here today, one that will reside on that strategic plan, and that is a commitment by January 2020 that Portland Fire and Rescue has zero civilian fire deaths every year. Zero civilian fire deaths. It is an
zero fire deaths.
Extremely bold goal. Never been done here in the city of Portland before. We've always had on average 5, 6, 7, 8 average civilian fire deaths every year. But I've been in an organization this large where you can get to zero citizen fire deaths, and it can be done. There's just a way. You have to do it. So we're going to push hard. It's a goal. It is a bold goal. Why wouldn't you have a zero civilian fire death goal? So that's our that's going to be our goal. Our next one that's very bold is zero firefighter fire ground injuries. Now, I'm also a realist. I realize we have over 600 firefighters. We fight a lot of fire in the city of Portland, so we will have minor fire ground injuries. I'm not talking about those. I would love to keep those limited and reduce those. We're talking about those firefighter fire ground injuries that yield an emergency room visit and an overnight hospital stay. I want those to be zero, and there's opportunities to get it to zero, and that should be our goal over the next 3 years. So, yes, it will be bold. It'll take strong action. It'll take bold action. It'll take a lot of community involvement and a lot of commitment from this organization to drive to those goals, but I believe they're achievable. So with that, I set the bold tone for the day. I want to turn over the opportunity to talk about the fire prevention report to the Fire Marshal Deputy Division Chief Nate Dekar.
Thank you. Thank you, Chief Myers, Mayor. Commissioner, especially Commissioner Salzman, thank you very much for allowing me to be here this morning to talk about our fire prevention report and two opportunities for change that I believe can help us reach Chief Myers' goal of zero fire deaths in 3 years. So basically, when we look back in 2015, it was a terrible year as far as fire deaths. We had 11. Looking back at the past 10 years, as Chief Myers stated, we averaged 5.6 fire deaths per year. In 2016, we're down to 3, which is below the average. However, 3 is still too many. So when you look at National Fire Protection Agency Association's report, they claim that 60% of home fire deaths results from homes without any working smoke alarms. And so when we did a look back, 2 out of our 3 fire deaths in 2016 had no working smoke alarms. In addition, this past summer, we had an apartment fire in Northeast Portland where 2 young children were severely injured in an apartment fire, and upon investigation, again, there were no working smoke alarms. So one of the steps, the opportunities that we have here is to take the next step forward. State law requires in every apartment residential unit, the smoke alarm is tested. The responsibility is made upon the tenants. So we're taking a step forward. Just like any sprinkler system, fire alarm system, any type of fire protection equipment in a building, we require documentation that's been properly maintained. So what we're doing that we're going to include the fire alarm system or the smoke alarm systems. So moving forward, beginning January 1st, 2017, we'll implement that when we do our periodic inspections, we'll require documentation that every smoke alarm and every unit has been tested. Working on this policy, I've worked with five of probably the major rental association management groups. And I'm very optimistic. Of those five, majority of them are doing it. They have a periodic check where they go in and do an inspection at least once a year. So really what this policy does, it brings everybody, it encourages it and gets all the landlords, all the management companies really operating at the same bar, which is at least testing it, documenting that's being tested at least once a year. And really this is about mandating state, it's a state law that smoke alarms are tested. So that's all we're doing. We're reinforcing, we're getting everybody to be doing the same tests on an annual basis. So besides that, we have numerous other programs which we're doing, which we continue to do, and that is being managed by Senior Fire Inspector Kim Kozmas in the Public Education Office. So she'll be introducing some of the programs that we have.
Fire Marshal, can I just ask you a question?
Sure.
On your presentation? And I'm encouraged that you're working with responsible landlord groups and property management groups to implement this vision. Over 80% of the short-term rentals that we know of in this city are currently illegal, and we have wholesale non-compliance with city code that requires basic life safety issues to be addressed before a guest is allowed in someone's home or apartment. What additional steps are you contemplating to make sure that the short-term rental industry is part of this compliance effort?
Right. So the Fire Bureau, as far as our authority, we have authority when we, for any multifamily complexes with three or more units. Some of the short-term rentals are individual family homes, which lies within the responsibility of the building department. In creating this policy, we've been working with the building department. And in doing so, it'll take a title change, and I believe the building department to start enforcing this law. But we've been in communications with the building department regarding our change.
And so it's your hope that you're going to pick up the folks that are actually renting out their units in multifamily by getting the entire building and the property manager to be in compliance?
Exactly. If the rental units are in a multifamily building, then we would take jurisdiction over that, and during our inspection process, we would require that.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning, Ken.
Morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here, Council and Mayor. So my name is Kim Kozmas, and I'm Senior Fire Inspector with Portland Fire, of course. And so I just would like to start out by sharing some information with you today about our public education team, which I manage. We offer targeted community outreach programs that are developed and implemented through our local schools, businesses, community organizations, and events throughout the city, and this is also implemented through our fire stations. Our public education team, we also partner with the Bureau of Development Services for landlord training classes that occur in the spring and the fall. And they educate property owners and managers. Some of the other programs that we offer our community include free smoke alarm programs, which also includes the specialized smoke alarms for the deaf and hard of hearing. Also for free home safety checks, which has been very successful. Mentoring and educational activities with the Sun School programs, and Fire Prevention Week coloring contests for the youth. The coloring contest teaches the students about the importance of topics like not playing with matches, having working smoke alarms in their homes, and then also planning an emergency exit plan with their family. So the students submitted their artwork this year in October, and the majority of them expressed the importance of having smoke alarms and an emergency exit plan. So today we have our two top winners from the contest this year in attendance. Our runner-up for first place is Avery Smith, and we have her artwork here. And then our grand prize winner is Indra Fox. And so I'd like to call them up.
Please come up.
I'll hold up their artwork so you guys can see them.
It would be my honor to hold it up.
Avery, the runner up.
Avery's?
Yeah. And we gave them certificates that basically thank them for participating and creating their beautiful pieces of art for us this year for the contest.
Wow. Good work. Good work.
Yeah.
Good work. Well done. Future fire chiefs.
Yes.
Ready?
Outstanding.
And one last note, Commissioner, we have copies for you, too, that are in your office.
Oh, great. Thank you. Very good job. Very good job.
I'm going to order one of those for my office if I can to...
Yeah, well done. Thank you very much.
One more. So thank you very much, Senior Inspector Cosmas. It's a tough act to follow, but I got one more point that I wanted to talk about, which is the change of our second policy. After the Oakland tragedy, we did a reflection as far as the type of programs we have to ensure that something like this doesn't happen in our city. So what we've done, what I've done is I looked at it, and I looked at from a fire life safety perspective, the Oakland tragedy. And really, I broke it down into two parts. The first part is the illegal occupancy where they were actually living in a warehouse. So we looked at that, and I looked at how we would potentially eliminate something like this from occurring. And so basically, we do periodic fire inspections. So every couple of years, our fire inspectors are in buildings inspecting, and they do a great job of enforcing and really maintaining what the building and the uses was permitted for. And a second program we have is what we call company referrals. So our crews respond to over 70 to 80,000 calls a year. And so they're in all these buildings, residential places. So anytime they see something that's just not quite right, we have a mechanism where they can report it. And the fire marshal's office will do a follow-up in the cases and making sure that whether if there's a problem, we can correct the issue or work with the building owners to resolve the issues. And the third, I think one of the most important things is we have a really good working relationship with the building department. Our partnership with them when we do have problems, when we do have issues, we can work together with the landowner and the business owners to resolve these issues. So there's not something that a problem gets stuck between two different agencies. We work in together as partners to resolve these issues. So looking at the unpermitted event that occurred at that night, we also have a night assembly and public assembly team that on weekends they're out there, they're inspecting different businesses, looking for overcrowded situations, blocked exits, et cetera. But the other thing that they're doing is they're looking for special underground special events, events that occur without proper permits. So part of our permit process, whenever we have a business or an event promoter wants to have an event that attracts more than 50 people, but they don't have the appropriate assembly place, they will come to our office and ask for a permit. And we permit these activities, and we go out there, we inspect these buildings to make sure that we have proper exiting and the event can occur in a really safe manner. So things like trade shows, art shows, et cetera, occur frequently, especially this time of year. We have holiday festivals, et cetera, in non-assembly type spaces. So we go out there before the event occurs. We inspect it. We try to make sure that, you know, the exits are appropriate and it'll occur in a safe condition. But one thing that Commissioner Sossman alluded to is I noticed that there's a loophole. And really, this is in total alignment of our Firesmith ordinance that you passed 3 years ago that talks about when we have these types of events which they turn these warehouses into a nightclub. Really, so you have an event which mimics a nightclub, it attracts hundreds of folks, into some of these warehouses that are not protected with fire sprinklers. So beginning January 1st, 2018, I'm going to change our policy so that if you want to have that type of event in a warehouse, it would need to be protected with sprinklers. By implementing it a year from now, it gives me time to work with the business owners, the entertainment community, the arts community, to really enforce the change and see what we can do to help them along so that this change can be implemented. So at the end of the day, this is really striving for what Chief Myers is saying about having the goal of zero fire deaths in the city.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all. Yeah.
Questions for our leadership on the Fire Bureau? Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else that wants to speak on this item?
We have two people, Charles Bridgecrane Johnson and Joe Walsh.
Okay. Come on up, please.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We got a report that the fire over in Forgotten Realms, it took the fire department 20 minutes to get there. We also got a report that the people that were involved in the fire were banned from the park. We also got a report that the fire department decided it was an accident that was caused by a connection, and it was a brand new connection. So there was no negligence involved in this. Since we have the brass here, would they answer those three questions for us? I cannot believe these are accurate. I really can't. I've had the unfortunate experience with the fire department and the ambulance coming to my house twice. Once I was unconscious and the other time I was conscious. They got there within 5 minutes. What's the difference? I would like to know that. That fire was in a homeless camp, which is really vulnerable. We all know that. If the fire department can't get there in 20 minutes, they should just bring the hot dogs. You know? It's over in 20 minutes. The first 3 minutes, and I'm not a fireman, but they could say, you know, he's pretty close. First 3 minutes of a fire is really important. The next 10 minutes, it's over. 20 minutes, you're dead. So what happened? So if they have information on that, I would really appreciate it because we need to know that kind of stuff. I also would like to know from you, Mayor, somehow, why these people were banned. I don't understand. If the fire department says it was an accident and there was no negligence involved in it, then why were they banned? Would you ban me from my house if I have a fire? I mean, I'm not a very good cook, so I have to watch it a little bit. So would you ban me?
Yeah, good question. Thank you. Good questions. We'll try to get answers for those. Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, and hopefully I'll never have to incorporate any fire equipment into my middle name. I want to thank Fire Commissioner Dan Saltzman for taking a moment to recognize the interesting and tragic climate we're in following the 30-plus deaths in Oakland, which really just makes it all the more disappointing that there's only a three-page PDF attached to this. You know, in Portland, we don't really have a comprehensive, that I've seen, overview of public safety. The Fire Bureau and the Police Bureau, you know, have separate commissioners. And then, of course, we still, among metropolitan counties, remain bifurcated, where we don't have a unified government between city and county. But we also have just three pages. What we really need to do if we want to be a city with a good heart and a progressive city is look, it needs to say who died. I know it's called a fire prevention report, so it's arguably forward-looking and presenting future deaths, but Dan has been good about lowering the flag in the city when average people, some who sometimes are indicative of a societal concern have died. And when we talk about fire prevention, we need to be very open and transparent about fires generally kill poor people. Some of those poor people are victims of slumlords or poor property managers. And in the coming 4 years, those people are going to be increasingly marginalized and put at higher risk. It was unfortunate that the losing candidate used the word deplorables because God knows this past year has opened up a season of insulting and unfortunate language. But the problem with it, it didn't get touched on as much as I would like to hear the fire people say. When we talk about trying to keep poor people, people with lesser quality or predatory landlords safe, for example, in the situation of Oakland, it was a situation of if you shut the whole thing down, people on the streets where, oh, well, they, in this case, they would have lived and not died from something on the streets, but that's not always the case. People who live in unsafe situations need to know that the city has their back, that the city is going to develop a mechanism for watching the landlords, whether it's done within the fire bureau or coordinating through the courts, to make sure that nobody, because of their inability to generate a high income, is at increased risk of death in the city. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. One of the concerns, I guess, when we were setting up Airbnb to actually operate in the city is that I wanted to have an emphasis on having a fire extinguisher in every room. And it's very important to do that because I know people in this room have been, maybe had a small fire, they were able to put it out immediately if they had access to a fire extinguisher. When you watch what a lot of these nightclubs, the warehouses, different things like that, they need to have the backup battery lights in certain areas marked, clearly marked, and fire extinguishers alongside. They need to make sure those are inspected on a regular basis. And it's amazing when they have access to those type of the extinguisher or just to hit up a backup light with a battery, the difference that can make in a short time frame on putting out a fire that could potentially take the whole building down, but it was stopped immediately. Again, the focus needs to be on those fire extinguishers in these properties, especially on the short-term rentals, where they might not have any access to any water in the room to where they can put the fire out, but they need to have those extinguishers in there. It's a public safety issue. They need to be inspected on a regular basis. We need to talk to fire extinguisher companies that have the products and make sure that a list is provided on any of these short-term rentals to them to have discussions on this issue. We can't leave it by chance that the fire department is going to be able to get to your property in a reasonable time frame. There are ways to put these fires out and prevent them from causing damage to the whole property, such as at this homeless camp. What would have happened if they had some good fire extinguishers in that camp that they were provided from the city? And they would have had those in the tents or on that property. I can assure you this fire wouldn't have gotten out of control the way it did. We can prevent it by understanding we have to have the right things in place to prevent these properties from burning to the ground. And again, I have pushed for fire extinguishers. I understand the importance of having them. I was on a property a while back where we had to have 10 of them and have inspectors come out and inspect on a regular basis. That was required from the fire department and to pass inspections. We need to focus on that to prevent these fires from getting out of control, especially in warehouses or nightclubs and, of course, any type of homeless camps. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. I believe we're ready for a motion to accept the report.
So move.
Second?
Second.
Then let's take a vote, please.
Really appreciate the presentation. Really appreciate all the work the Bureau is doing. And really appreciate the commitment to getting to zero fire deaths. And I was delighted to hear Chief Myers say that that he's seen that happen, that it is possible. So thank you very, very much.
Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Salzman, for particularly the new policies. Obviously, we all want to have no accidental deaths in Portland. Aye.
Dan, this past year you hired Chief Myers, and he's been a great addition to the city family and to the Fire Bureau. So congratulations, and thank you for this report. Aye.
Salzman.
Once again, I want to thank Fire Chief, our Fire Marshal, Nate Takara, our Chief Mike Myers, and Senior Fire Inspector Kim Kosmos for all the great work they're doing, and our artwork winners, Avery Smith and Indra Fox, for doing some outstanding art. Aye.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Folsom, for this report and for this very timely and thoughtful change in our policy to deal with these large assemblies. I think that's an extremely appropriate and important tuning of our rules, because that's what this work is about. It's about public education. Obviously, we saw how well that can work here today with the winners of that art contest. It's about public engagement and equipping people to be able to deal with risks on their own, but it's also about what the rules are. And I think it's totally appropriate and much needed that we do that. As it happens, yesterday I was with Oakland Mayor Libby Schaff, and she told me with tears in her eyes that no mayor, no fire commissioner, no fire chief, no community should ever have to go through what Oakland has gone through. And you are doing the right thing to make sure that it doesn't happen here. And I completely support and appreciate that. Aye. Thank you very much.